Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Wow, Myri, 5 p.m. This is awesome. You guys are looking pretty amazing, pretty pumped. Had a good day. Yeah, someone over there did. Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, like they said, my name's Mel, Port Kennedy campus pastor, married to Mark. We just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary, which is so cool. So cool. We made it this far. So that's awesome. We're doing well. No, he's fantastic. Just absolute rock. Such a support and amazing guy. So I'm just so blessed to be married to him. We have two boys, Toby, 13, and Jonah, 10. And yeah, we just love being part of Nations Church. We love serving here. We love our senior pastors, Ken and Chrissy Lee. They are, haven't we got the best senior pastors? They are incredible. Just so love the way their vision, their heart for people, their love for God, and that they just live so authentically in that vision and in that purpose, but also just champion every single one of us. Don't they believe in us, call out the gold in us, trust us with things that we probably wouldn't trust ourselves with, but they continue to do that. So just want to honour you guys and thank you so much. And thanks for the privilege of preaching on this stage today. I'm just really grateful for that. We're going to get straight in the Word, if that's all right. We're going to go and look at an event in the life of Moses. I love Moses. He is just like he's just an incredible human being. When you look at his life and how it unfolds over Scripture, you just see again and again how he overcomes the obstacles that are external to his life but also internal to step into the purpose that God has called him to. And it's just so incredible to watch that, and I think we can learn so much from his life. Today we're going to go just to one event that took place, and that's what happened to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus 3. So why don't we just jump into this now, Exodus 3 verse 1. And it says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Verse 7, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered, I will be with you. This is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. Verse 13, but Moses protested again. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. Wow, what an interesting account, protesting to God. One of the things that you need to know about Moses in this account is that he's protesting because he was very comfortable with his life in Midian. He was very comfortable there. He'd fled there 40 years earlier from the nation of Egypt. In the nation of Egypt, he had been born to an Israelite family, but raised by Egyptians in the Egyptian palace in a time when the Israelites were living in slavery there. And as a result of a murder that he committed, he killed an Egyptian for beating an Israelite slave. He fled from Egypt. And here we find him 40 years later at this burning bush with God calling Moses back to Egypt and calling Moses into his purpose. And we've just read Moses' reaction, right? He's protesting. He's challenging God's call on his life. We've just read two of the times that Moses did that, but he does that multiple times at the burning bush. And if you knew his situation and his circumstance, you would understand, right? Because he's been living in Midian for 40 years. He met this guy called Jethro, married his daughter, settled down, had a family, raising children, got this cool job shepherding somebody else's sheep every single day, walking around in the desert. Why would he want to leave all that? He was comfortable, right? He knew what to expect. He knew the routine. Life was good. And now God was calling him back to what he had run away from. God was calling him back to his purpose. And what I would like to submit to you today is that many of us are like Moses. Many of us, when we are faced with our purpose, we bring out our excuses and our reasons why we should not or could not do or say any of the things that God is calling us to, simply from our desire to stay comfortable. Simply from our desire to stay in the place where we know what's going on, we know the routine, we've settled in, and we're at ease. So even though we know God is speaking to us, even though it's his voice, and we know that he is a God that can perform miracles, so strong is our relationship with comfort that we are willing to sacrifice our purpose so we can stay in that place of comfort. So even though you know you are being prompted by God to get around the people in your connect group, maybe even help lead it one day, you just don't go there too much because, you know, well, you're just a bit tired midweek, right? Even though you know God is prompting you to speak to your workmate about Christ or go and pray for them in person, it's just a bit awkward, okay? So we're just not going to step out of our comfort zone. Even though you know you've got some skills you can bring to Sunday morning service, that thought just freaks you out. So you haven't even gone there yet. You know God is prompting you to pray, but it's just so much easier to stay home on Monday night, right? Watch MasterChef, then go to revival prayer meeting. God is speaking to you about getting more into his word, but there just always seems to be more important things to do. Our comfort is so attractive. Because, well, it's comfortable, right? But like Moses at the burning bush, God doesn't call us into comfort. Rather, he calls us out of comfort and into living for his purpose. And so today I want to speak to you on the thought, breaking up with comfort. You see, God calls us to break up with comfort because we were created for purpose. God created us to live in purpose. Let's go back right to the beginning. When humanity was created, when God breathed his life-giving breath into Adam and Eve and they stood there before him, man and woman, the first creation. And God says to them, hey, look at this garden. It's pristine. It's beautiful. I've given you everything that you need. Just chill out here. Take it easy. Here's some coffee, a vegan slice. Just kick back and enjoy your time here in the garden. Is that what he said? No, he didn't. Genesis 1:28. Come on, we can move on from the vegan slice. It's okay. This is what God said. Genesis 1:28. Oh, it's on this one, right? Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. The very first words out of God's mouth to his created beings, to humanity was, I have created you to live in purpose. Everything here is made for you to release you into your purpose that I have created you for, to go out and subdue the earth and to take dominion. And you know what, Myrie, 5 p.m., I'm going to be a little bit cheeky here. But when I was preparing this word during the week, God spoke to me about this scene in the Garden of Eden. You know, in a few weeks' time, you're moving into a new building. It's going to be pristine. It's going to be beautiful. It's something that God has created for you, his people. But it's not a place for you to kick back with your coffee and your vegan slice. It's not a place for you to sit back and just enjoy the surrounds. But it's a place for you to be released into your purpose. It's a place for you to step out of and begin to subdue the earth, begin to take dominion and begin to see the works of God performed through your hands. It's not a place to sit back. And so God said to his people, go and live for purpose. I created you for this. Go and build your life on it. Make everything you do about living in this purpose. But you know what? In our feel-good kind of world, where our lives are built around comfort, where you can just Uber Eats in everything that you want on Saturday night, the goal of living in God's purpose can be delayed at best, or worse, derailed by our attempts to avoid something that takes us outside of what is comfortable. Because just like Adam and Eve were to take dominion over a place that they had never explored, living for purpose means going outside of what is known, going outside of what is predictable. It means breaking up with comfort. It means getting off the couch. It means getting up early. It means doing something when you don't feel like it. There's a hard one. It means being faithful when no one notices. It means sacrifice. It means going the extra mile. Because you see, living for purpose and living for comfort are two opposing agendas. One is trying to keep you where you are, and one is drawing you into something new. You can have one or the other, but you cannot have both. They are not compatible. You know, when you're in a relationship with somebody who lives by a completely different agenda to you, you are always going to be living in this place of tension. It's like when you're in a relationship with somebody and one of you has one view of faith and what that means to live a life of faith, and the other person has a different one. There's only going to be so far that relationship can go, right? At some point, that tension, that incompatibility is going to limit the depth and the effectiveness of that relationship until that tension is resolved. It's the same with our relationship with God. As long as we build our lives around comfort instead of building our lives around purpose, we will be living in an opposing agenda to God. Now, don't get me wrong, being uncomfortable is okay. Sitting on the couch in your hoodie or whatever those things are called, that's okay. But it is when we are living for comfort instead of living for purpose. It's when comfort becomes our life's agenda, our driving force, that it limits the depth of the relationship and purpose that God is trying to call us into. When Jesus talked to his disciples about living their lives for purpose, he said this in Matthew 16. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When he is talking about denying yourself, he's not just talking about not having that chocolate on the way home from work. He is saying, he's telling us to lose sight of our own interests, to lose sight of our own comfort, to break up with our attachment to that and instead follow him. Attach our lives to him and his purpose for us. Jesus is saying, break up with comfort and follow me. And when you do that, you will truly find your life. There is a depth of life and relationship with God that can only be discovered when we break up with comfort and we step out into the purpose that he has for us. Just let me grab a drink. Are we okay? We'll pray for Pastor Shannon later. Yeah, the breakup with comfort. You know, when Mark and I were young adults, we'd made some choices that just, yeah, I know it's hard to imagine. All right. God, getting heckled from the front row. Where were we? Okay, as young adults, when we were young adults, Mark and I made some choices that took us away from our relationship with God, took us out of the house of God, and we lived away from that for some time. And after we got married, we just really sensed, well, God had always been calling us, but we just, to be honest, decided to be obedient and seek out God again, go back to church again. And we did that. And a number of different things happened, but eventually we found ourselves called by God to be part of a church plant in Rockingham. And from the very moment we stepped into that place, we just stepped into the purpose that God had for us in that place. Mark was serving on production, running the sound desk every Sunday. I was running kids' church. It was set up pack up, so we'd arrive really early. We'd get all the trolleys out of the vans and we'd pack it, set everything up, and then we would run church and then we would pack it all down. And we did that week in, week out, week in, week out. And we loved it. We loved being part of the community and the family. But what I found after, not long after that beginning of that season, is that I started to come into church on a Sunday with this really bad attitude in my heart. And where that was coming from was this. When I say it out loud, sounds so petty. but I was a newly married wife, and I'd always had this vision of one day getting married and being in church with my husband, being down in, sitting in the pew somewhere and, you know, worshipping God together and hearing the word, and on the drive home, honey, what did you think about the word, and talking about that together. But the reality of our life was separate cars, not seeing each other for the whole service, not seeing each other much for pack down and all that kind of stuff, separate cars back home. Oh, hi, good to see you kind of situation. And you're still kind of the same. That's all right. But we still continued to do that. But every Sunday I was going to church, I was doing my thing, smiling, how you going, all that, pray for people. But in my heart, I was having this internal hissy fit tantrum every Sunday morning. God, this is not fair. This is not what I wanted it to be like. This is not what I expected this, my new marriage, to be like, us coming back to Jesus being like. I didn't want this. I wanted us to be coming to church together and worshiping together and doing this. And I had this terrible attitude every Sunday walking into church. And I just continued to battle through with it until one day I just happened to get up a bit earlier. It helps. and I was praying, and God just dropped this revelation in my heart. This revelation in my heart that this purpose that we were walking in, that we were fulfilling, that we were stepping in, was so much bigger than my petty little desires. It was so much bigger than what I had dreamed about, that this purpose that I was stepping into was not just about me or me and Mark. It wasn't just about our purpose, but it was about the purpose of every single person who walked into that building, who might encounter Jesus, whose child might grow up knowing the word and how to pray. It was so much more than that. And in that moment, I just said, God, you can just have all of me. I don't care what this looks like anymore. I don't care if we have to do it, you know, every single day for the rest of our lives. I'm just here to fulfill your purpose. I'm just here to fulfill your purpose. And, you know, when it comes to our breakup with comfort, God is saying to us, it's not you, it's me. God is saying to us, it's not you, it's me. He's saying, your purpose is not about you. Your purpose is not about you, and it's not even about your ability. Your purpose is about God and His ability to bring it about in your life. The account of Moses' life is showing us a serious flaw in our humanity. Every time Moses argued against God's purposes, Moses pointed to his own lack of ability. What am I going to say? They're not going to believe me. It was me, me, me. And every time God responded to Moses' argument, he pointed Moses back to his supernatural ability and who he was. You see, God was trying to teach Moses, and he's trying to teach us today, that our purpose is not found in our comfort. It is found in our surrender. The psalmists knew what it meant to surrender to God and his purposes, and they wrote this down in Psalm 46. In verse 10, they write, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted among the earth." This word, be still, that meaning is to let something alone. It means to do nothing, be quiet. It means to release your hold, relax your hands. Some scholars, when they unpack this scripture, unpack it like this. Just listen to this. As you know the glory and the greatness of God, stop your mouth from arguing with him or opposing him. Simply surrender. Ouch. I don't know about you, but there have been so many times when I have delayed or ignored the purpose of God in my life because I've been like Moses. I've stubbornly refused to surrender, and I've argued at the burning bush, trying desperately to hold on to my comfort, trying desperately to hold on to my life and protesting about stepping out into what he was calling me to. You know, I remember a time when I was serving at church, and back in those days I was sharing with you about, and the pastor at that church at the time speaking to me and encouraging me and telling me, hey, you got leadership on your life. You should step out and do this. You could get, you know, do that. There's this purpose on you. Who's had those conversations before? Yeah. And the whole time he's talking to me, I'm formulating my response, no way. You are wrong. And I told him that pretty straightforwardly. But, you know, I was serving, I was giving, I was doing the sorts of things that, you know, I knew that I was called to do, and I was comfortable in that place. But you know what? God had more. God had more that he wanted to call me into, and I believe that is for you here. Every single person in this room, maybe you've already stepped out into your purpose, but you know what? God has more for you. God has more for you, because God wants to do so much more. Because who knows that when we live, I've totally lost my spot. Sorry, guys. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, this won't be on the screen, but it says this: eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's incredible, right? That's incredible. But the thing that we do when we are wanting to hold on to our comfort, maybe you're comfortable with the level of purpose that you're in right now, is that we take the immeasurable purpose of God and we distill it down to something that we can hold in our hands. We distill it down to something that we can see we could do in our own mobility. We distill it down to something it's just like the purpose of God could fill this whole auditorium just for one person. But because of your doubt, because of your fear, because of your desire just to hold so tightly onto your life and your comfort, you distill it down to this glass, because you can hold this, you can control this, you can manage this. But God wants to do so much more than that. He wants to do what could fill this room just with your life, more than you could ask, think, or imagine, beyond what you could imagine, what you could see, what you could hear, more than what could ever enter into your heart. That is what he desires to do in you. And perhaps you're thinking today, well, that's all very good and well, you know, but you don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life right now. You don't know the brokenness I'm dealing with. You don't know what's demanding my attention. And you know what? When this issue in my life gets sorted out, when I've got my act together, when that relationship gets better, when I've got that job, when I've stepped into that promotion, when my family is doing well, then I can step into the purpose of God. Then I can step into what he's calling me to. But you know what? God didn't wait for Moses to get his stuff together. God spoke to him at the burning bush and took him with all his doubt, all his fear, all his protesting, all his insecurities, his speech impediment, took him out of that desert in Midian and put him into Egypt before Pharaoh to set a whole nation free. How incredible. This is what God wants to do in your life. And let me help you with this. Your ability doesn't dictate whether or not you can step into God's purposes for your life. It's your decision to break up with comfort and set God's purpose above your own interests that will release you into that purpose. In Matthew 6:33, it says this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, sometimes we get this scripture the wrong way round and we go after all these things. We say, I'm going to have all these things first and then I will seek the kingdom of God. When I get that anxiety kicked out of my life, then I'm going to start serving. When I'm not shy anymore, then I'm going to start talking to people. I've been there. That was me. You know, your decision to break up with your comfort in that place of anxiety, this is not judgment, this is not condemnation, but your decision to break up with that is what will unlock your breakthrough. I just feel like I should say that to you right now. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it is what unlocks that door for you to step into that place of freedom. When Mark and I stepped into that church plant in Rockingham, we were a mess. Just being honest. Well, Mark will probably say, well, you were. Just joking. But you know what? We were not in a, we were immature. We didn't have it all together. We were newly married. We'd been off doing whatever we wanted. We weren't so far along that journey with God, but God used us because we decided just to say yes and step into His purpose. And as we stepped out into the purpose that He had for our life, He did an incredible work in us again and again and again and again. As we just continued to serve, as we just continued to show up, as we just continued to step out of our comfort zone and into the purpose that God had for us, He did this incredible transformative work in our life. And we're still on that journey now. It never stops. Well, actually, I take that back. It will stop when you stop chasing His purpose. It will stop when you hold on to His comfort so tight. You know, it's time for us, church, just to break up with comfort. It's time for us to say, no, you've not got a hold on me anymore. I'm not going to stay where I was, but I'm going to say yes and step into what God is calling me into. I'm going to go where He's calling me into. You know, in Colossians 2, verse 7, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. You know, every time we break up with our comfort and choose to live in His purpose, we are putting our roots down a little deeper in Him. We are building our life up more and more on Him. We grow stronger and stronger in Him. Our faith deepens and our thankfulness to God overflows because of what He has done in us. That's the kind of life I want to have. That's the kind of life we want for every single one of you. Do you want to have that kind of life? That kind of life that's built on fulfilling the purposes that God has for you, the purpose that you were created for? That's what He has for you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.